San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. You can hear us on the AM 760 app. And now, time to introduce the main man of the hour. He is a CPA extraordinaire. He's a marathon runner. He's a philanthropist. And he's a family office expert to several high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
Joe, I'm doing marvelous. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm doing a little better than the opera.
I heard.
You heard the latest. I guess the board president resigned. And I think they are trying to save it. There's a group in there trying to save it. So let's hope they do.
And got to make some changes to save it.
So on the heels of the Balboa Park Celebration Committee that went kaput, or whatever you want to say, and then the opera, and then the other day it was announced that the Ken Cinema would be closing, and I guess there's a dispute with the Landmark Theater chain and the trust that or the property management company. There's, I guess, three parties kind of involved here. But I did talk to the owner of the theater whose grandfather started the theater several years ago, and he wants to keep it a theater, and I trust it. He's a CPA, so I take it him at his word, Richard.
Okay.
And I put him in touch with another theater operator well-known in town here, so hopefully that will save the day. But anyway, anything you have to say before we get into the
second show? Saturday in a row, I came in first place in my age division in a 5K.
Really?
So down at Mission Bay in the One Hope event, which raises funds for military families that have children with autism. First place, just like last week at the Fallbrook Half Marathon, where in the 5K division, I picked up the gold medal as well.
Wow.
So two Saturdays in a row, Joe. I'm getting really fast as I get older.
3.1 miles. So how fast can you say how fast you went?
It was like 21 minutes and something.
Oh, my gosh. That's pretty good.
It's like a seven-minute pace.
For 50-something, that's pretty good.
55. You can put it out there. I don't care.
Anyway, all right, why not? Anything else before we get into the show?
Let's get into the show. What the heck?
We have two great studio guests tonight, and the first one is a woman running for city council.
See, running. I was talking about running,
there
so you can segue into running.
There you go. She's running for District 2 and former prosecutor, but we'll get into her background and everything else. I just want to introduce Sarah Boot. Sarah, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here tonight.
It's our pleasure. So, what's the drill, Richard? We usually like to ask about where they grew up and where they went to school.
Yeah, we ask who you are and why on earth are you here. I'm just kidding.
That's the old William Stockdale line.
Exactly.
I think it was William. You're too young, Sarah. He ran for vice president umpteen years ago with
it was Mondale, right? Was it Mondale?
No, I think Ross Perot.
No, it was Ross Perot. That's right. Because Dukakis was anyway.
We're taking Sarah's time here.
Exactly.
But anyway, sir, so grew up where, went to school where, and how'd you find yourself into San Diego?
Well, I moved around a lot in the Midwest growing up. My dad was an engineer and worked for the Whirlpool Corporation. So anytime he got a promotion or got a change in appliances, like refrigerators, washers, dryers, we'd move to a different plant. Mm-hmm. So spent a lot of time in the Midwest growing up and ended up going to college at the University of Michigan and ultimately went to law school at the University of Michigan.
Mm.
And I made my way out here to San Diego because of the tech industry and, of course, the beauty, the beaches and all that. Got my first job in the legal field working for a big law firm out here that primarily represents tech companies and internet companies like Google and Facebook and Yelp, that sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm. And so you went to law school there, and then didn't you meet your husband in Washington, though, or where'd you meet?
Well, so in between undergrad and law school, I moved out to New Hampshire and worked on the presidential primary campaign for Joe Lieberman.
Oh, really? Wow.
I did. Obviously, that was not successful. Hopefully, my campaign goes better. But my husband was working for Dick Gephardt for president at the time, another unsuccessful campaign, of course. Mm-hmm. And we met at a holiday party for staffers of the different candidates. And if you may recall at this time, it's Howard Dean, John Kerry, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we met there. And then after the campaigns were over, I was already set to go to law school at the University of Michigan. And, you know, we had hit it off, but didn't think anything could come of it because we weren't living in the same place. Yeah. So I went down to Washington, D.C. for a little while until I was going to start law school to find a job for the temporary the rest of that year. Mm-hmm. And was staying with a friend at American Law School. And I was in the law library putting my resume together and trying to figure out what I was going to do for the next 6-7 months. And my husband Shane walks by. And we're like, whoa, how did that happen? And so, you know, of course, we picked things back up, and it turned out he was going to law school as well, to a school also in Michigan, Thomas Cooley, which was in Lansing, about an hour away from Ann Arbor, where I went to the University of Michigan Law School. So we, you know, and the rest is history, of course.
That's funny.
Serendipity.
Yes.
That's funny.
So we ended up getting married out here, actually, in Balboa Park.
Okay. So what makes you want to run for office? I'm just curious.
Well, we live over in the Midway community. And in our neighborhood, there's a lot of problems. I take the trolley to work. Mm-hmm. And when I come home at night, in the wintertime, obviously not in the summer as much, but it's dark. The streets aren't well lit. Mm-hmm. Driving around in those neighborhoods, there's lots of potholes. The homeless population appears to be on the rise. Property crime rates are on the rise. And obviously, you mentioned earlier, I was a prosecutor. I was a federal prosecutor at the U.S. Attorney's Office here in San Diego. And I feel like I can do more to benefit this city from the platform of city council than I could as a line AUSA. Mm-hmm. And that's really what motivated me to work on these neighborhood issues that have been neglected for too long.
Can you explain the Midway District or your district? Because I know there's been some changes in the district and some people are a little bit confused.
Well, the entire district too you're talking about, Richard? Second district.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. I think a lot of people are confused about it. So District 2 is the Beaches community. We used to have downtown, but that went over to Todd Gloria in District 3. And so now we are Point Loma in Midway. So it's in that part of the district, it's everything to the west of the 5. Mm-hmm. So Point Loma in Midway. And then we get up further north and you've got Ocean Beach, Mission Beach, Pacific Beach, Bayho, Bay Park, and then about the western third of Claremont and Linda Vista.
Mm-hmm. I see if they go over to your website, which is Sarah Boot, the number 4, right?
The number 4.
For council.
Yes.
There is a district map link there. And I've got sdvote.com, folks. If you have any questions about districts or voting or anything, that is a great website. There are a lot of resources there. I don't know if you've probably been there, right, Sarah?
Sure.
SD Vote. So that's a good one. Just wanted to mention that. But so you got homeless issues. Now, I did see the other day that homeless facility downtown, they are doing some good work down there and have downtown. I don't know. Can they help out in the Midway District a little bit more, too, in that regard? Or?
Well, I sure hope so, because I think outside of downtown, District 2 has the highest population of homeless in the city.
Yeah, I was going to say homeless, at least my experience in that district, is they like being near the beach.
That's right.
For one thing, there's a lot of public facilities.
But it's
restrooms
it's,
and the like.
That's true. No, and that's very true. They're a lot near the beach, but they're also in the canyons over in Claremont.
Oh, that's right.
And they're in the Midway District over where I live, where that's more industrial.
But I know there was a large, prostitution issue in that area and also Elkhorn Boulevard, but I don't know if it's as bad as it used to be, in that region. So that's something. Have you got any statistics from the law enforcement at all that you're working with? Or,
well, you mentioned prostitution. I mean, when I was at the U.S. Attorney's Office, one of the types of cases that I prosecuted was child sex trafficking. And that's a huge problem here in San Diego. We're one of the top 10 worst cities in the country for it. And a lot of people actually think that it's because of young girls being trafficked into the country from another country like Mexico or Russia or something like that. There are incidents of that happening, but most of what's happening here is that in our local communities, once rival gangs that used to fight with each other over drug turf have now come together and have decided that instead of the high sentences that come with drugs, the fact that it's a limited supply that you can only sell it once, why don't we come together and sell the girls of our middle schools and high schools because you can sell them over and over again. And it's a huge problem here in San Diego. Huh. And there's a lot more we could be doing about it in this city.
Well, let's take our little break right now, Justin. We'll come back and try and get into some solutions with Sarah Boot running for city council. Hang on, I'll be right back after this.
AM 760. Now, it's your money and your life on AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we are back with Richard Musio, myself, and Sarah Boot running for City Council. I forgot to mention at the top of the show, Richard, that the San Diego Asian Film Festival is having their showcase, over their spring showcase, and the opening film was To Be Takei. It was all about George Takei and his life and everything else and his whole process of, well, his whole history from the internment camps to coming out to the Star Trek and everything else. And he showed up, and it was very entertaining, and he remembered our interview.
Well, that's good. And did he bring his hubby Brad?
Because he brought his hubby Brad.
They are such a funny couple.
He brought his hubby Brad. And Brad's in the movie quite a bit.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yeah, Brad's a cool guy, too.
The scene where they bring Brad's mother's ashes to Arizona and reminded me of the Big Lebowski. You have to see it. Okay. Anyway, it runs a few more days. Go to sdaff.org if you're interested in seeing some more great Asian films.
Good stuff. Hey, Sarah, before we went to the break, we were talking about the issues surrounding prostitution and basically young female trafficking in San Diego. It's an issue that's important to me. As most listeners know, I wrote a book back in last year that went bestseller in September about the history of the women's liberation movement circa 1973 and young female empowerment and gender equality. So it's an issue that's dear to my heart. You know, what's going on is simply not acceptable. What possible solutions are you looking at? If you were able to put together a game plan as to how to combat this really unfortunate situation, what would those things be?
Well, I think from the city level, the first thing we need to do is beef up our police department. It's been underfunded for far too long. We're losing officers left and right because we're not paying them a salary that's commensurate with surrounding jurisdictions. And the reality is, to prosecute these kind of crimes, the sex trafficking of children, it's very time-consuming. You got to get search warrants. Most of the stuff's happening online, so you got to get online search warrants. You got to get people's text messages, surveillance, sting operations in hotel rooms. It's very time-intensive, and we got to make sure our police department is fully staffed to be able to combat this issue. So that would be the first thing. The second would be, so I'll tell you a brief story about one of the cases I had. There was a 14-year-old girl who had been brought in by her pimp from Texas to California. And when we found her, I mean, the girl's, you know, she's 90 pounds soaking wet, and he'd been having her, forced her to have sex with 6 to 10 men per day. Of course, she didn't get a dime of the money. She's cut off all communication from her family. And typically in these situations, when we find a girl like this, oftentimes she ends up in a foster care home until, you know, pending trial or what have you, or juvenile hall sometimes, which I don't agree with. But in the case of the federal jurisdiction, she was undocumented. So we ended up putting her in a federal facility out of state, because there's not that many of them, where it was more, rather than being like a juvenile hall, it was more like a campus. And so she attended classes. She had counseling. She had medical treatment, could do exercise, but she couldn't leave the premises. And that's really important in this situation, because a lot of times these pimps still have control over the girls. And it just makes me really sad, because we were able to, you know, she was very angry at first, like most of the victims are, because they've been through a lot and they're still under the control. But after a few weeks, she was able to put enough space between her and the situation and heal enough to see that this man was evil, did not love her, was exploiting her, and she was ready to gain her power back by testifying against him, which she ultimately did, and we convicted him. And I just wish we could have something like that for our local girls here, for our American girls. And so I'd like to use my platform on the city council to raise awareness about that and lobby the state legislature for that funding for those kind of facilities. And then finally, as I mentioned earlier, most of this stuff is happening right here in our backyard, in our middle schools, in our high schools. And I think we need to do everything we can to raise awareness of this. Because it does happen mostly to disadvantaged children, but it can happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. And this is modern day slavery, and we have to keep talking about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard thing to talk about, but if we're not open about it, it's never going to get fixed.
Well, is the FBI, I mean, don't they have a large facility up here in I guess, North County somewhere or Miramar area, but aren't they surveilling the internet and trying to wipe this out as well? Or
absolutely, yeah. Okay. It's all you know. Law enforcement at all different levels are working on the problem, but we need more resources. And like I said, law enforcement can't be the only solution to it. That's one component, but we have to raise awareness so that we can identify these girls much earlier before they're too far into this life, and it's much harder to get them back.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, are you active in Run Women Run? I'm curious.
I am.
Cool.
It's my good friend Barbara Bree was the founder of Run Women Run.
Prior guest on the show.
Yep.
Along with her comedian husband Neil.
Yes. And I was on the kind of the ground floor of the organization. It's basically a local version of Emily's List. It's nonpartisan, but electing mm-hmm. pro-choice women to office is what they try to do. Mm-hmm. And they're looking to support women as they enter the political process. And I've been happy to be a part of that organization.
Mm-hmm. So in this campaign, have you had any debates yet with your opponent or?
Well, we did have we had a debate a couple weeks ago at the Ocean Beach Town Council, mm-hmm. and there's four candidates in the race. There's me, there's Lori Zaff, who mm-hmm. sits on the council in District 6 right now. Her mm-hmm. house just got drawn into that northeast corner of the district.
Yeah, I heard that her house just got remapped.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Okay. That's okay. Exactly okay. It. Okay. So she, in one sense, she's an incumbent because she's on the council now, but when you're out in the community, especially in the beach communities, they haven't. Yeah, you haven't really heard of her. That's my experience.
You're all starting from scratch. So.
It's a much more open mm-hmm. seat than people realize. Mm-hmm.
And who are the other two?
So then there's a libertarian named Mark Schwartz mm-hmm. and a man named Jim Morrison. I don't know his party affiliation, but he's put his name on the ballot the last five elections in District 2. So we're mm-hmm. talking about 15, 20 years he's okay. been running for this seat.
Came back from the dead, from the door. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. Yeah. Exactly. But we had a debate at the Ocean Beach Town Council, and it was just me and the two gentlemen. Lori Zaff did not attend. And then in Pacific Beach this past Wednesday, we had a debate where it was just me and Lori.
Mm. And are there any specific points where you are just, you think you could do a better job at or diametrically opposed? Or
many points I could do a better job.
I mean,
well, a couple things. I it's interesting because Zaff portrays herself as a fiscal conservative, yet she's one of two council members to take an $800 a month car allowance. I think that's very wasteful. Mm. Over 3 years, we're talking over 30 grand that goes to pay for her car.
There's so much public transportation in your district, too.
That's, well,
800, how much?
But $800 a month.
$800
a month.
I mean, my car payment's $236, exactly. So I don't know what the rest of that's going.
I've never had one that high either. So,
that's. But then the other thing is,
well, That's not $30,000, is it?
$800 a month. It's like $9,600 a year, and then she's been in over 3 years.
So I get you.
I'm saying over the course of time that adds up.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you look at the fact that we've had this Balboa Park Centennial debacle, where we spent 15.
That's a nice way of putting it,
isn't it? But I mean, $15,000 a month for the CEO. You guys know this. $8,000 a month mm-hmm. for the consultant. Trip to Panama. 2+ years go by. $2.8 million in the hole. We got nothing to show for it. Right. And you haven't heard Zaff come out and demand accountability. And I want to know, where was she over the last few years? And where was the transparency? Where were these financial documents? Who was watching the ship here?
Yeah, supposedly they're auditing the whole thing right now. But
hey, we got 8 months to go to pull that off.
Yeah. Sure.
No big deal. There's plenty of time.
So what I'd like to do is use my prosecutorial experience. I'm not afraid to ask hard questions. Mm-hmm. I'm used to digging through lots of documents to find key pieces of evidence mm-hmm. and really hold people accountable.
And then at these meetings in the town councils, what are they asking you to do for them or for the area? Any particular?
Yeah, I mean, terms of the constituents, what's the most important thing?
What comes up in their conversation?
Well, it's interesting. I've been going door to door 7 days a week since December, and the number one thing I hear about from voters is the streets. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you all. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, their frustration is not just the lack of repairs and the delay in the repairs. It's when they do come in to repair something, they tear up the street, maybe they fix the sewage lines. 3 months later, they come back, tear up the street, and fix something else. There's no coordination. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously incredibly inefficient.
And Mission Beach they just had a big pipe break there
exactly.
the other day.
I was down there. So, I took a look at it. It's pretty gnarly.
But the whole sewage system, I mean, it's going to need replacement. It's 70, 80 years old.
Yeah, the infrastructure is an
it's
issue.
Abysmal.
So 2008 Rock and Roll Marathon, I was running through Bay Park at about the 14 or 15 mile mark. I was about to step in a pothole, so I tried to stretch over it and tore my hamstring with 11 miles to go.
That's a tough tear. Those take a long time to repair. Yeah, I tore my hamstring.
Well, how about Mayor?
Like, fix the potholes,
Mayor
please.
Sanders. He came in here with a big sore on his lip, and I didn't ask him about it, but I was afraid to. And he said, "Well, I was walking with my hands in my pocket, and he fell on the sidewalk."
Yeah, exactly.
I go, "I hope you're not going to sue the city."
That's great. But I think if we upgraded our city's data, we could take advantage of software systems that other cities are using, where you set a date certain for street repairs, and all the repairs happen on that one date. And then that way residents could go online and see what's their street's date, is the project that is the pothole mm-hmm. that they want to report, is that already on there?
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that that would help us be more efficient, save more money.
And then, yeah, there's no transparency. I mean, you report something like that, you have no clue what, if anything, when.
Nope.
And I know everyone likes to get their utility poles undergrounded. That's been an ongoing mm-hmm. process, so you probably can help out on that.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. If we had a date for each street when you tear it up, if the utility company knew that date, mm-hmm. maybe that would be cheaper for them to come in at that
time
as well.
I'm sure it would be.
It makes sense. Yeah. It does
makes
make
a lot
sense.
Of sense.
So anyway, so where's your next appearance, Sarah? Public appearances coming up? Anything?
Actually, yes. At the Claremont Town Council, they're hosting a debate, and Zaf is confirmed to attend.
Okay.
And it's for Districts 2 and 6, because Claremont straddles both.
Okay. So when's that going to be?
It's going to be May 1st, 7 p.m. at, I think it's Cadman Elementary.
Wonderful, okay. Wonderful. So anyone who wants to get involved with your campaign, go to SarahBoot4CityCouncil.com, right? SarahBoot4CityCouncil.com. Or go to our website, iymoney.com. I'm sure we can find the link there. Or you can always do the Google. And while you're doing that, we're going to take our break right now. We're going to come right back with our second guest right after this. So hang on. All right, we're back with the second half of the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, and over to Richard to thank our sponsors.
Thank you, sponsors. UBS, Michael Carranza, Drew Freitas. Couldn't do it without our great sponsor, UBS, right across the street from UBS in downtown La Jolla on Prospect Street. Regions Bank with Sean Puckett and Steve Sefton, San Diego's best business bank. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, helping business owners do a better job of understanding the risks that drive the value of their businesses. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Our favorite CPAs who just survived yet another tax season, Don Epic and Paul Polito. Polito Epic CPAs up in Vista. They always go real smoothly through their tax season because they're really, really good with their workflow. But it's always good to have April 15th behind you. Brenda Geiger with the law offices the Geiger Law Offices, Asset Protection and Estate Planning. Jason Kruger, San Diego's best CFO service with Signature Analytics. And last but not least, the Lombardi Group and the LG Experience, helping CPAs and wealth advisors get much, much more value to their very best clients. In fact, we have a big 3-day continuing education event coming up at La Costa on June 16, 17, and 18 for CPAs. Can't miss the best continuing education on the planet for CPAs, because it combines the technical with the application with the leadership material that really helps CPAs become the CPA firm of the future and the most trusted advisor to their very best clients. So thank you to all of our sponsors. And Joe, how can our great listeners find out more about our incredible roster of sponsors?
Well, if they just get on their smartphone or their computer and type in iymoney.com for It's Your Money, iymoney.com, put your cursor over the sponsors tab, and there's a drop-down menu. All their information is there, their emails, their phone numbers, their histories, and of course, they've had many great outcomes and successes working with you over the years, right, Richard?
Indeed. And by the way, on our website, we've got many, many more new YouTube videos coming up. We're on my YouTube channel. I just cut about 9 more videos a few days ago, and so we're going to start putting those up.
So that'll be under presentations and video,
exactly.
Right?
That's correct.
Okay. So there's another tab across the top there, though. Really sharp.
I make accounting exciting.
Really sharp website. Hey, and there's some really nice first place press club awards there. How about that?
How about that?
For the best,
three of them. That's called a hat trick.
The best series in San Diego. I'll take it. But anyway, we have another guest in studio, another VIP in town who's starting up a brand new nonprofit, and he's the Director of Community Relations for the San Diego Financial Literacy Center, and his name is Brad Pagano. Brad, how are you tonight?
Doing very well, thanks.
That is great. Great to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you found your way to San Diego.
About a decade ago, my brother had returned from Iraq. He was a combat Marine, and like many Marines who are young, came back, he had some issues, and I had the ability and the determination and the foresight to say San Diego's where I want to be, and went to my boss, and they transferred me out here, so I was a lucky one that came out with a job, and after I got my brother back on his feet, I met my wife and got really engaged in the community here, and so be it. Now I'm here.
So your brother, I guess, went through boot camp here and was living in San Diego, and you came out here to help him.
Actually, my brother booted at Parris Island, and then he was in Bravo 111. He was an artillery combat guy up at Pendleton, and he was actually on his Westpac when the towers came down. And when he came back from that, 140 days in a hole on Kandahar Air Base, And then came back for about 3 or 4 weeks and then went to Iraq for 9 months. It really messed him up.
Wow.
And after 9 years in the Marines, he left, but now he's reengaged. He's back in the Army, back in Delaware, and he loves the military. But I had to come out here, and I raised my hand, volunteered, and now I'm here.
Wow. Well, that says a lot for you. That's so congratulations on that. So grew up where and went to school where, Brad?
Grew up in Delaware. Mm-hmm. Went to the University of Delaware. Was kind of accelerated through school, so went in at 16 and got out at 20.
Huh.
Got my first master's degree in public administration, and currently I'm working on my second master's degree in MBA, focusing on corporate social responsibility, and taking that online and combine that with a new house, a new baby, and the new nonprofit. I got myself hopping.
Yeah. Well, you got yourself pretty involved in the whole community. I see you've been with several organizations, your Elder Help and the old OMBAC and the Association of Fundraising Professionals. You're a member of that. Mm-hmm. I'm very impressive. So career-wise, you were working in D.C. and then you want to talk a little bit about that
or what
you did work-wise?
Well, when I got out of school, I wanted to do something. I was an international relations major, so I was like, I was all about it. And mm-hmm. politics back in the late 90s and early 2000s wasn't as vile and vitriolic as it is today. Mm-hmm. And I worked for Congressman Castle mm-hmm. after I had worked for Senator Roth, famous for the Roth IRA.
The Roth IRA.
And
mm-hmm.
Congressman Castle, the No Child Left Behind.
Right. Right.
And then after doing some legislative work, I got into the campaign like our predecessor here,
mm-hmm.
and I loved it. And but at the end of the day, they're looking to give you peanuts and for pay, and they want you on call 24 hours a day. And I'm too much of a social person, and I really decided that I wanted to expand my education and see what else was out there before I made a full commitment to becoming a DC person.
So after your congressional aide career, what did you do after that then?
I went and worked for the Delaware State Chamber of Commerce, and then I was working for the Produce for Better Health Foundation. I was really working for large nonprofits. That mm-hmm. was really my goal, is to do development work for them. And mm-hmm. That's when it happened. That's when I transitioned out here.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fortunate enough, and they blessed me and gave me the opportunity to work for them while I was here in San Diego. And I covered everything from the Mississippi River to the Hawaiian Islands.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty big area, and I'd have to fly back to Delaware every 3 or 4 weeks. I got a lot of airplane miles. I'm a permanent, platinum member on United, so I get to fly first class a lot. But at the end of the day, I wanted to get my feet on the ground. I wanted to make a difference in my community. I wanted to give back, and I figure if you're going to be here, you've got to be a contributing member, and that's one of the reasons I started the San Diego Financial Literacy Center.
Yeah, we'll get into that. So 15 years, could say March of Dimes. It's on your website.
Yeah.
March of Dimes, American Cancer Society, the Delaware State.
So, can I ask a question about your brother? Not to be personal.
No, please.
But was financial literacy one of his issues?
Yeah, he was $50,000 in debt when I got home.
Wow.
When his now ex-wife had just taken advantage of him, and when everything went down, he had no financial acumen whatsoever. It was in one hand, out the other. He was a victim of predatory practices. He had payday loans, and he was just being taken advantage of.
But that's fairly common for the military, isn't it?
And there's a lot of people that are taken advantage of in the military, mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that sometimes those people are taken advantage of by their brethren who are out and are looking for a quick buck and are trying to help out these predatory people. But he was in some deep trouble, and I had the ability, wherewithal, and the financial capability to come and help him out. And once I did that, I met my lovely wife, Sarah, and we'll be married 7 years in May. Gosh, that's coming up. And the rest is history. I'm here. I'm, as Joe had said, I'm involved in several organizations, including the San Diego Bowl Game Association, OMBAC. I'm in a lot of professional organizations. I love to volunteer my time, what little time I do have. And mm-hmm. my business partner and I, Chase Peckham, we do a lot of good projects here for the military, for youth, and we partner up with other agencies to help the low to moderate income communities.
Yeah, we did a great show recently about the challenges in the for-profit education industry and how they sometimes prey on returning veterans.
Yeah. They do it in the education field. We know that. So,
yeah. Yeah.
But I want to save enough time in the last segment of the show. So why don't we take our break right now, Justin? We'll come right back with more of Brad Pagano at San Diego Financial Literacy Center. Hang on.
Listen to AM 760. Now, it's your money and your life on AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we're back in the home stretch of It's Your Money, Your Life with Brad Pagano, Director of Community Development with the San Diego Financial Literacy Center. So, Brad, I know the military is your main bailiwick and area of concern, but why'd you start this organization, and what is it all about?
Well, I met with some of the community leaders last fall, and I said, well, what are some of the pressing needs? And they all came around financial literacy. And there are a lot of great financial literacy programs out there, JA, Jewish Family Services, and other nonprofits. But in order to access them, you have to be affiliated with that nonprofit. There's nothing, or was nothing, for the public that encompassed the entire gamut of financial literacy, from debt, budgeting, credit management, money management, to investing in retirement and how to buy a home. So we basically, myself and my buddy Chase and a couple of industry leaders here, got together and said, let's do this. And on January 6th, we started from scratch, no website, no logo, no nothing. And what you see today after 100 days is a complete partnership platform that's reaching out to 15 high schools, 7 or 8 community colleges, nine military civilian organizations, a variety of corporate partners. And the reason I'm doing it is I want to make a difference in my community, and I want everybody to become financially fit and develop those personal positive financial habits that are going to make them successful going forward.
Yeah, that's great. Great. And I know you helped your brother out, right? Yeah, I mean, he was in deep debt, and that was probably part of your motivation, right?
Yeah, I mean, being a nonprofit, if you can't believe in the mission and you can't wake up every day and go in and not worry about getting a paycheck every 2 weeks, I want to make a difference. I live here. I work here. I'm engaged here. I want to make sure that my community is a better place. And if I can help, if we can help some military men and women, and we can help veterans, and we can help the youth become financially, gain some better financial acumen, then everybody's going to benefit. The workforce, the community. I mean, a stronger San Diego that's more financially literate will be a better San Diego in the future.
Yeah. So, Brad, is debt the key issue?
I think debt is a very key issue. It's a bigger stigma than sex, politics, or religion, and people don't want to talk about it. And people, the biggest issue is, you know, identifying you have a problem and then seeking the resources. Nobody's going to sit in one of our workshops and say, I'm in debt. So that's why we do a lot of one-on-one consultations that are confidential. All of our programs are free thanks to the generosity of our corporate partners, our individual donors, and our foundation partners. And we do comprehensive financial analysis. We pull people's credit reports, and we just help them get on the path and help them develop a plan and provide them the resources they need to be in a better place.
And your focus is primarily on military and youth as being the two key constituents, or are there other demographics?
Well, our two big programs, Boost for Our Heroes, is on military, and that's active transitioning and veteran, and then Wave of the Future is on high school and college students. We have a big focus right now on student loan debt. It's outpacing credit card debt for these youngsters, but it's open to the public. Anybody who's anybody can request a workshop, a consultation. We have 27 different workshops that we do, and it's for everybody. We're trying to set up some workshops for some doctors with a current with a group of doctors at Sharp. We're trying to set up with SDA security.
Financial literacy for doctors? Well, man, you're ambitious. I'm just teasing you.
You'd be surprised. A lot of them, you know.
I can tell you stories all day long about things doctors do.
But you know, what we want to do is we just want to make a difference wherever we can. So again, everything we do is free. Everything we have with our industry partners is done on a volunteer basis. And you know, people contribute time, talent, and treasure to help us accomplish our goals. So our goals in San Diego are very lofty. We want to become the preeminent financial literacy center. And we do that by offering these workshops, platforms, and seminars that are customized to meet the needs of the population.
You know, I think where there's a huge need is in the elderly population. I don't know if you've got specific programs for that, but typically the breadwinner passes away first. But because we've been in a financial environment of very low interest rates for quite some years now, many older folks have a very difficult time generating income, yet their cost of living increases, the cost of medical care increases, et cetera, and it becomes a real challenge.
And that's interesting you say that. I met with Anya Dela Cruz, who's the Associate Executive Director at ElderHelp, where I used to be a board member, working with her team, including John Branley and Deb Martin, we're going to be putting together workshops for seniors to help them stay in their home, to help them develop budgeting plans and, you know, help them live within their means. And one thing that we're doing is one of our workshops is actually reverse mortgages. I don't know much about them, but apparently they're very popular. But again, what we're seeking is individuals and corporate entities that want to help us, that want to partner with us, that want to help us build curriculum, and that want to, you know, join us in our mission to bring this to the masses.
Mm-hmm. Richard, what's your opinion on those? I know they're using a lot of celebrities now to pitch these
reverse
things.
Mortgages, yeah. They're appropriate in certain circumstances. Mm-hmm. You know, they, again, there is a certain aspect of that industry that's predatory,
mm-hmm.
But it's much better regulated now than it's ever been in the history of our country. I think some of the stigma is not deserved. Mainly the people who object are the heirs who are expecting to inherit, you know, a free mm-hmm. and clear house, but you know, when people are living to be 90 and 95, and in many cases, their most significant financial asset is the equity in their home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you pay for all these medical bills and all these other things as people's lives go much longer than they used to? And so I think if you just get good financial advice, aren't prejudiced one way or the other about that particular product, and work with a very reputable lender, mm-hmm. it's fine.
But as far as now credit cards, Brad, you give a lot of counseling on credit cards, right? Because, I mean, there's just so many out there.
Well, you'd be surprised. A lot of people, obviously, credit card debt is an issue. And what we'll do is individuals, we look at it as a continuum. If you're in debt, we want to get you out of debt. If you're out of debt, we want to get you savings. If you're saving, we want to get you investing. If you're investing, let's talk about retirement. Let's do this in a way that's free, that's unbiased, that's culturally competent. And credit card debt is huge. If you face it, the average debt for an adult, and that takes into account 18 to, you know, 98. There are some that have zero, but the average debt's around $5,000. But there are people that have a lot more and people that have a lot less, and they just don't understand what credit does and the pitfalls and how interest is compounded, and they miss a payment here or they pay off a little bit here, and the next thing you know, they're robbing Peter to pay Paul because they're spending money over here. And it's really today, as our expenses are going up much faster than our income, you know, people are getting themselves into more and more trouble. And, you know, again, they're using things like payday loans, which is, if you've ever read the fine print on those things, yeah. It's unbelievable. So again, for us, it's an education. We empower and we educate based on environment and experience, and we want to bring it to you how you want it. So that's why we meet with all of our community partners. We ask you what you need. We don't try to square peg a round hole or shove something down your throat that you don't need. And we give you the information in a way that you want it, that your constituents want it. We're partnering with military groups. We're actually going to be on Miramar on April 30th at the Parenting Expo. 5,000 Marines. We're going to be with our partners, Glassy Smith and On Budget, doing presentations on budgeting and how to buy a car. Two big issues on the Marine base.
There you go.
Because they come back, they get this combat pay, and they want to run out and spend all their money. But, you know, let's think about doing it a different way. Yeah. So. We have identified a lot of people to work with, and we're very happy with where we are, and we're very happy with where we're going to be. You know, we're partnering with the San Diego Foundation on May 6th for the Give Big, which we encourage everybody to get involved with. There's lots of nonprofits that are engaged.
Where's that going to be held?
Well, the Give Big is an online 24-hour event where people can go and learn about nonprofits in San Diego and help us raise awareness and also donate. But our big coup de grace, August 25th at Del Mar Country Club, our first annual Boost for Heroes Golf Classic. Sponsorships, playing spots, volunteers, donors. We'd love to have everybody out there. And we're really going to make that really focused on our military. We're going to have a guard. We're going to have an anthem singer. We're going to have, you know, a lot of, it's going to be military themed. I have a lot of opportunity there. And for me, it's about, you know, bringing all these positive things to bear so that we can really make a difference on the community here in San Diego.
Yeah. Let me make sure I give you the website. It's
SDFLC.
There we go.
SDFLC.
Right.
I got it right.
Financial Literacy Center. Now, most of your seminars, do they occur? Where do you put those on? Do you put those on at a workplace or at a center? Or
well, we have our education series, which is presented by Kaplan College. They'll be at the Kaplan College locations. We are actually just finished up a workshop before I came in here at the San Diego Public Library down in Mission Valley. We have an interactive conference room at our location in Kearney Mesa.
Great.
But what we like to do is go out into the public. We like to go to the classroom. We like to go to the corporate boardroom, and we like to bring it to you. We love away games. We love to be on your turf and bring our information there and make you feel comfortable. And we want it to be as easy as possible because, again, this is not an easy subject to talk about with people. People think they're financial literate or I don't need help or this, that. But what we do it is in an interactive way. We try to just bring them information that they can then digest and use. We leave them resources like workbooks. We have My Financial Goalkeeper, which is a tracking software. And what we can do is just really help you. Wherever you fall on that continuum of financial literacy, we're there to help. And we want to help. And again, everything that we do is free of service.
Wow. We are out of time. But Brad, thank you so much for being our guest tonight. So good luck with everything. SDFLC.org. And thanks to Sarah Boot, who was with us tonight, who running for city council. And Richard, good seeing you as always. And we want to thank Justin Hart, our soundboard engineer, for making us sound great. And thanks to Craig Blanke, our con executive, and to Dave Sniff, our programming genius here at KFMB. And that is about it. You have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week. And take care.